It was in my school days when I had a chat with somebody from Hasidic descent who said to me, "Did you know that a custom, a minhag, can overrule a din?" And I said, "What nonsense. How can you ever say such a thing? A minhag is a custom. Any Tom, Dick or Harry can make up a custom, but a din, how can you ever write a din?" He said, "No, I heard this once." And we went together to a rav even to settle our disagreement. And the rav said that I was right, so I went away feeling very happy about it. But as time progressed and I came across various sources in halacha, I came to discover that in quite a number of significant cases, I was really wrong. Now, there is minhag and there is minhag. When we keep a second day Yom Tov outside Eretz Yisrael, it's really a din d'rabbanon, but the Gemara calls it minhag. Minhag av oseinu v'yodeinu, sheshomru oseinu minhag, as it says in Gemara Beit Zadafei. And then on Hoshana Rabbah, when we take the Hoshanas, we call that a minhag nevi'im. And it's such an important minhag that the rabbis and Hillel, when they fixed the calendar, even made it in such a way that Hoshana Rabbah should never fall on Shabbos in order that we do not forget the minhag nevi'im. So when it comes to Shofar on Shabbos or Lulav on Shabbos, Chazal were not worried. But when it came to a minhag on a Shabbos, Chazal went out of their way to change the calendar, which means that Yom Kippur would even be on a different day in order to fulfill the minhag of the Nevi'im. So there is minhag and there is minhag and there is minhag. There can be a simple custom of calling up people in a certain way to the Sefer Torah. Okay. Once it happened that many Hasidim were always cutting their toenails after they had a bath, and they were asked, "Why do you do it?" They said, "Because the Rebbe does it." So they went and asked, somebody asked the Rebbe, "Why do you cut your toenails after you've had a bath?" He said, "Because my nails are soft after I've had a bath." I heard once there was a shul where the chazan, whenever he passed a certain point in the shul when he was carrying the Sefer Torah, he bowed down. And everybody else followed him and they bowed down just at that point. And some visitor came to the shul saying, "Why are they bowing down over here?" And nobody really knew. So he established that what happened was that in the previous shul they used to have, there was a low beam along the ceiling at that particular part of the shul, so they always had to lower their heads. So there may be some customs which have no basis or rhyme or reason whatsoever. Indeed, there may be some people who practice customs which are completely osur neged ha-Torah. I heard of one not so religious family who had a custom that whenever they made Kiddush on Shabbos, they would celebrate it by eating oysters. How can you eat something which is not kosher for Kiddush? That was their minute. Once I visited a shul in the provinces, a certain synagogue on a Shabbos afternoon, and they started davening Maariv before Nacht, about 20 minutes before nightfall. Alright, okay, as long as you don't do Malacha till nightfall, you're davening Maariv after plug. But I went up to the minister of the congregation and I said to him, "Why is it that you daven Maariv early before nightfall?" He said, "Oh, that's our minhag, that's our custom." I said, "Yes, but what if people think that Shabbos is over already then and they might do Malacha?" He said, "Oh, that's our custom, that's the way we do it." And when I came out of the shul and it came just to the time when Shabbos was out, there were cars lining up outside of women coming to collect their husbands, which means they had obviously left their houses before Shabbos was out. So in those sorts of circumstances, a minhag cannot override what the Torah is saying. We've got to get our footsteps first in the right place when we talk about the custom and halacha. And there is a sefer called Minhagei Halacha, which has a section on Minhagei Shtus, stupid minhagim, which talks about that there was a village in Algeria called Souk Aharas. And somebody once came there and observed that on the eighth day of Pesach, the congregation used to walk outside the village for about half a mile, and they sat amongst some mountains, and they sat down there and ate chometz on the eighth day of Pesach. And when they were asked, "Why is it that you do this, to eat chometz on Pesach?" And they said, "Well, we've had this for three or four generations already. It's an established custom in our community." And somebody who looked into it examined why were they doing this and found out that what had happened was that they once had visitors coming from Eretz Yisrael who decided that they didn't want to offend the local community on the 8th day Pesach, because for the Israelis it wasn't Pesach anymore. So what they would do was they would go outside the village, make a picnic where they thought they would not be seen, and they ate their chometz. The truth is that Israelis coming to Chutzlitz may not eat chometz for that very reason outside Israel. But this is what they did, and they were seen by the villagers doing this. They thought, oh, well, they come from the Holy Land. They're obviously very holy people. They're obviously doing the right thing. What a wonderful custom. Why should we have to wait till after Pesach to eat our chometz? We can eat it today already. And that's what they were doing. Nevertheless, there is a phrase, minhag mevatel halacha, but it's only in certain circumstances. The phrase does not come up anywhere in the Gemara Talmud Bavli, but it does come up in the Gemara Yerushalmi on two occasions. One occasion is in Yevamos, where there is an argument about chalitza, when a woman who is a chained woman, so to speak, because of her husband's death, and she is childless, and therefore she's supposed to have yibum to marry her brother-in-law. And to get out of yibum, there is a practice called chalitza, where there is a ceremony with a shoe. And there is an argument about what sort of shoe should be used. And it became the practice to use a sandal instead of a shoe. And the Gemara Yerushalmi there says that even if Eliyahu HaNavi comes and said you should use a shoe, and the practice and the minhag of the place is to use a sandal, you still use a sandal. Why? Minhag mevatel halacha. There is another example in Bava Metzia, again in the Gemara Yerushalmi, which talks about somebody who hires workers for the day and stipulates with them that they will start working before the day breaks, before day starts, and they will work right until after sunset. And if there is a place where the terms of employment are such, and the minhag hamokim is such, where one does not demand such a thing of the workers, then even if somebody has demanded of the workers and made a stipulation, a tanai b'mamon as it's called, then the minhag of the place overrides it. The custom is that a person cannot change that. Why? Because, says the Gemara, minhag mevatel halacha. The minhag outdoes the halacha. So halacha is tanai b'mamon. There was a condition made, it's perfectly halachic, but nevertheless the minhag of the place overrides it. Now there are some commentaries who write about these two halachas. One is about an issur, of course, and one is about momon, money and monetary matters. But the general attitude which comes out from this is that it's not really that the minhag is mevatel. It's not the minhag is overriding the halacha. It's that the minhag is machria the halacha. The minhag is deciding what the halacha is, which itself is very powerful, but it's not going against a din of the Torah. What I've got in front of you are two handouts from the Shulchan Aruch. So we'll have a look at those, and that will give us an idea of the basis of when a custom can set aside a din. The first sheet you have is from Yaredeo Reishon and Tes Hilchos Tzedakah. And it's talking there, that the small print you see in front of you is the Ramah, Rabbi Moshe Isserles, who's continuing what the Shulchan Aruch writes. And he's talking about when a person dedicates a donation to his synagogue, and once he has made such an intention declared, he cannot change his mind. Or can he change his mind? That is the question. So I'd like to start reading from the fifth line of the Ramah, because time is short to read out everything. If a person made a shenoda, he dedicated, Medrash. He dedicated a piece of land on which to build a Beis HaMedrash, or a shul. The Ein Yecholu Nivnos Miyad. But circumstances are that they cannot build straight away. Ein HaMisnadev Yochol Lachzor Bo. The person who made this donation cannot retract on it. Elo Yeh Omed Kach Ad Sheyivnu Aleh. It must stand until the building takes place on it. The Chol Zeh, says the Ramah, and all this is B'makom She'ein Minag Yodua Be'ir. When there is no custom as such in the town. in the place where it's the custom, Shahagabai, Obaneir, where the warden of the shul, or the people of the town, Mashanim, they do change, Rakol Mashi Yitzu, in any way they want, Avfilu B'mokam Shunagim, or even a place where it's the custom, Shahodom, Mesim Ezadova B'mesak Nessus. A person says, right, I give this to the shul, Kagon Sefer Torah, O klei chesed, or silverware, or kodome, etc. Uchashayirtse, and when he wants to, chozer, he can change his mind, veloko, and they take it back. I'm going to be very unpopular today with the gaboim here, who are trying to chase up the promises which have been made. Uchashayarit minachosov, mochel acherim, and when he's getting bankrupt, he can sell it on to others. Holchim acham minach, we go according to the custom. Chol hamakdish adaitom. Because the principle, says the Ramah, is a person who is dedicating does so with a knowledge that he's doing so according to the custom of the place. Yes? Really?
Yeah.
What was decided? Right. Well. Yeah, very interesting. Let's look in the Shach, which is... Really? Oh, because most people who dedicate the Sefer Torah usually still maintain the ownership of it. And they, just because of insurance, they want it kept in the shul. That's very interesting. If we look in the Shach... Now, the Shach, halfway down the wide lines... I should have marked it out on your handout, I'm sorry. But Sif Kotten Ches... The Shach, Holchim Achah Minhag. I'll start on the second line of that, which starts with Kaf Vov, and then it says Umeachad Pshita Zechala Kedusha Al Kelim. The Shach expresses surprise at this. He says this is quoted from the Maharik, and he says, surely it's obvious that once there is a kedusha on those utensils, Mikach Dinei Hashas, on the strength of the dinim of the Shas, Va'atav Osolaf Kia Mikach Minhag. Are you coming then to uproot this on the strength of a custom of a place? Because the Ramah says, well, if it's the custom of the place that you can change your mind, you can change your mind. How can a custom override the din? Hello, Yodato. You know, She'ein minag mevatal halacha. A custom cannot do away with a halacha. Eloin kein, unless, hu minag kovua, it is a fixed custom, apichoch mehamokov, according to the wisdom, the wise people of the place, it doesn't just go according to the whim of the balabasim of the shul. He also writes there, that minag should be so well established, if it's going to set aside a din, your minhag, which overrides the din, must be one which is called a minhag vosikin. It's such an age-old custom, it may have even existed before the din was established. Avol minhag she'eino raya min haTorah, but a minhag which has no basis from the Torah, eino elo keter keshikul hadas. It's only a mistake, b'shikul hadas, in one's knowledge, in one's weighing up. Kamo minhagim geruim, and there are many bad minhagim around, elos dinon basrai, which we don't go according to, v'gam lefi da'ati she'eino minhag kavua kalal. And there's no such thing, according to me, that there is any such minhag. In fact, if you look ahead in the Ramah, on the third last line, he does say, v'vad she'yeh minhag kavua. He makes the condition that it is a fixed, established custom. And there is some doubt as to why the Shach then is saying this, and he ends up with Tzorech Iyum. The principle which comes out from the Shach is that you can't just set aside a din for the sake of a minhag hamokam. It's not on. That is the view which is from the Maharik. However, there seems to be an argument among some Achronim, because the Magen Avraham and the Ramah do not generally seem to follow the Maharik. They seem to follow the pre-chodosh. I might have said that wrong round. The Maharik is often more lenient and the pre-chodosh is more strict. The Maharik is quoted by the Magen Avraham. We're going to see it now in Hilchos Megillah. Hilchos Megillah talks about banging for homon. The Ramah talks about this terrible custom where you can't hear the word of the Megillah because some kid in front of you is determined to bring the biggest football gragger to shul and make a lot of noise. It affects the decorum of the shul. You might miss out hearing a word, and you've got to hear every single word of the Megillah Esther. So what's the din? If we look at the Ramah, which is halfway down the page in the small print, in the main part of the Shulchan Aruch, Od Kosvu, have we got that? So that it's the fourth wide line of the Shulchan Aruch, and there's a big Kaf Aleph in the middle. Od Kosvu, Shenegu Atinokos, Latzur Tziras, Homon al Eitzim, to figure Homon on wood and Vavonim and stones, O Lichto Shem Homon Aleim, they write the name of Homon, Ulakoson Zelze, and they hit it. Gadeshim Cheshemar al Derech, in order that they can wipe out his name according to what it says in the Pasuk, Machotim Cheshech Amalek, you shall do away with the name of Amalek, Shem Hashem Yerkav, Umizen Israel Haminach Shemakim Homon Keshkarinas Amegillah. And from there comes the custom to bang for Homon when we read the Megillah of the Beis HaKnesses. The Ein Levatel Shum Minhag, and one must not do away with any Minhag. This is an expression which comes up very frequently in the Ramah. Olilo golo, and one must not laugh at it. Kilo lechinom hukva, because we do not know what reason our predecessors had. It wasn't for nothing that they fixed such customs. Now, you know, any normal man in the street who hears the name Homon won't start banging his feet, will he? It's not a normal thing to do. But we do not laugh at this custom. It is an age-old custom, and we have to respect it. That doesn't mean you don't have to hear all the words of the Megillah. You have to hear the words of the Megillah. Says the Magen Avraham, if you look in the left-hand column, Sivkot and Kaf Beis, the cost of Ramah, B'tshuva Simon Kaf Aleph, B'Shem Maharik, Sherish Kuf Mem Dalad, De'im Nimtzah Minog V'Ezeh Posek, if you find that there is a Minog which is established in a particular Posek, Ein Levatlo, you do not do away with it, Afilu B'Shah Sadachak, Ein Lashamas Minag. Even in emergency, you do not change the custom. Gedomrinam Bivnevi Abishon. This is talking about the Gemara in Pesachim Makam Shenegu Daf Nun, where there was a custom of some people who were taking challah on rice, which is unnecessary, and they approached Rabbi Yochanan about it, and Rabbi Yochanan's attitude was that this so-called challah just be eaten by the Yisraelim. And there's a lot written there about Minhag in the fourth perek of Pesachim. Ravfilu yesh b'minhag tzad isor, says the Ramah. Even if there is in this minhag some aspect of a prohibition, ein levatlo, we do not do away with it. Kamashkos of Maharik, as he quotes from the Maharik, Ravfilu b'minhag mokom echod omrinu shemavatel halocho. Sometimes we might even say that the minhag is mavatel halocho. Mu'a in the shtanel inyan ma'ashayah bizmanu rishonim, but if it's changed from the time of earlier generations, it is then correct to change the minhag. The fiyazaman. Adkan l'shon me'arosh. The bureau smart kosav holds on min on minhag. Okay, halacha. Wherever we say that a minhag can uproot a din, haynu afilu rov deos sorele osur. Even where it is osur to keep such a minhag, that Talmud Messiah lehu, and that's relied on in the Gemara of haminhag habonoi al pi apsikta b'soim chitzonim on minhag minhag okay halacha. If the minhag is based on some source, which is a reliable source, it can even override the halacha. Devadai kach kibru avaseinu ish mipiyish, because that's what we have received from our forefathers. I'll be out of the brackets. The dafka minhag shenisyachin al pivo sikin. But we're only talking about a minhag which is based on something very, very old. Kamashkos of Amodachai aval minhag she'ein v'arayim in ha-Torah, but hasn't got a raya, eino elo k'tore b'shikul adas. So says the Magen Avraham. It's remarkable that there are occasions when a minhag can override a din. And in the short time that we have, I intend to give a few examples. The Pri Chodosh writes in a very long epistle in Simon Tov Tzadivov, where he writes a whole section called Minhagei Isur. He says, Kol minhag sheyesh bo kutzas hefsek mitzvah. If there's a minhag where you lose out on a mitzvah, of chashash serech isur, or if there's any isur involved, lo havei minhag. He wipes off any minhag which has any isur in it at all. However, the Maharik, who is followed by the Magen Avraham and the Ramah, say, we do respect minhagim which have such a source. The Lavush talks about there was some minhag shtus, a crazy minhag where people would say they would not ever bench Birchas HaMazon in the house of a non-Jewish person. And he wrote, Kol minhag sheyesh bo katzas chashash serech isur, lame minhag. There's no such custom. Of course you bench Birchas HaMazon if you're in the house of a non-Jew. It seemed to come from the custom of not wanting to feel as though one is at home in the place, or not benching the zumim in the place, because we don't want you to feel at home in the house of a guy. Okay, that's something else. There is an interesting minhag which people do on Erev Yom Kippur called Kaporis. Don't know if it's done here. I never used to see it here in my childhood in the North End in Agas. But there are a lot of people who do it, and you see adverts up on the notice board and in Stamford Hill, they do a big trade in it. So much so that somebody reported some group to the RSPCA because there were dozens of chickens trapped in one box. Anyway, whether you like the minhag or not, the Shulchan Aruch himself says, Yesh limna me'aminag. One should stop doing this custom. Why? Because it's idolatrous. It's copying the Darkei Ho'emori. To wave this chicken round your head and to try and transfer your sins onto this poor chicken. Well, there are people who do it, but the Shulchan Aruch says you should stop. It's not right. The Ramah comes along in his true tradition of style of saying we keep to the old customs. And he says there is a minhag v'sik in here. It's been going on for so many, many, many generations. We do not do away with it, and we respect it. The Ramah also upholds all the minhagim of piyutim, saying extras in the davening, which sometimes the Shulchan Aruch and other poskim feel is a hefsek. There's some who say the akdomus on Shavuos after they've started the laning, after one pasuk of the laning, and there are many who say that's a hefsek. It's not right. Yes, it's usually before the Kohen makes his bracha, that's mostly the custom. But there are some who actually do it after the first pasuk, the Chodesh HaShlishi. Pardon? Yes? One interesting custom which is done in this shul is on Friday nights, I think it's still done in this shul, is that the chazan makes kiddush in shul. And that is a minhag which many shuls in Chutz Laaretz have. The Tur, son of the Rosh, the predecessor to Shulchan Aruch, says that this practice is against the din. It is a minhag which should not take place. Why? Because there is a din, ein kiddush ela b'makom sudar. You can only make kiddush in a place where you have your meal. Now, in former times, people used to come and live in the shul. Guests used to reside in the shul over Shabbos, as though it was like a guest house, a hotel. So the kiddush they heard from the chazan was prior to them sitting down to eat. So they had kiddush b'makom sudar. However, says the Torah, nowadays, since there is no kiddush b'makom su'udah, because people are not eating in the shul, one should do away with the custom. So why do we do it? There is a whole chapter in the Shulchan Aruch about it, and in fact, the practice is frowned upon by a number of Rishonim, including the Shulchan Aruch himself. So why do we do it? Do we find here a minhag which is okerei halacha? Alright, the halacha you say is a din d'rabbanon, but we have to respect din d'rabbanon as well. Comes along the Rashba, the Chulas of the Rashba, and the Rashba was a Rishon, and he says, we keep up the custom of saying Kiddush in Shul on Friday night. Why? Because this Kiddush is a refuah. It is a cure for people. What is this cure? It's something mystical. That when a person does a psio gasso, if a person runs very fast, he loses a 500th of his eyesight. And he gets back this eyesight, it's restored from Kiddush on Friday night. Some say it's coming from when he drinks the wine, some say it comes from when he looks at the wine. I don't know, this is already mystical stuff, which I'm not really into. But the Rashba says that's why we keep up the custom. Well, I felt a bit uncomfortable with the Rashba, because I'm not in the mystics. And La Halacha, is that enough to keep up the custom? I found in the Bach, who is a commentary on the Torah, something else. The Bach says as follows. He says, Be'emes, one should not make Kiddush and Shul on Friday night, because there is no su'udah. But there are some people who might be in the shul who don't know how to make kiddush when they get home. And if you don't make kiddush in the shul, and they won't hear kiddush at all. And in order that they should hear kiddush, we compromise. And there is continuing this minhag of making kiddush in shul on Friday night. Nevertheless, there is a minhag here which is okay halacha. The custom continues. Another interesting custom which one sometimes observes is that there are a number of people, particularly in the Hasidic communities, who are very particular not to learn Torah on Xmas Eve. On the evening 25th to 24th of December, on that night, if you pass Reb Chunna's shul in Golders Green, all the lights are out, the place is locked up, there is nobody there. I heard that in Germany they had a custom to play cards on that night. What's the reason for the custom? Some say it was Tekufas Teves, whatever it is, that there was an idolatrous thing about the change of the equinox. But the generally held view is that we do not want to do anything which helps the neshama of Yoshki. And that was the time when Yoshki was born, or whatever it is, and learning Torah might help his neshama, and we don't want to help his neshama. Now, my father, whose hobby is involved in calendars, once went up to the Rav of the Sadiger Shtibel and said, look, you've cancelled your share on the 24th of December, but really, the true date for Christmas is the 6th of January, because Pope Gregory changed the calendar with a number of days, and really the true date was January the 6th. So he said, okay, then we'll stop learning on January the 6th as well. Some people go, machmir, they won't learn the whole Torah the whole year round. I had a lot of difficulty understanding this custom because, I mean, Torah makes the world go round. Learning Torah makes the world go round. And if you stop learning Torah, then, well, for goodness sake, the whole world might come to an end. I found something very interesting in the Sefer Tanya Minhagim, who brings down this custom. And he quotes sources who kept to this. He quotes about the Chidushei Harim, who was the Gera Rebbe. And he even quotes the Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz. And somebody once came up to the Gaon, Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz, and said, how is it that you Jews say that it's the Torah which keeps the world continuing? And how can you then keep the world continuing during those hours when you've stopped learning Torah? The Heshiv Lo Rabbi Yonasan Zal, Minag Yisrael Torahi. He answered him, Minag Yisrael Torahi. By the fact that we keep that Minag is Torah. And that minhag is Torah means that minhag keeps the world going round. Remarkable. Stunning, I thought. That's what he writes. Within our actual shul services, we have a very nice custom. When Hagbar takes place, everybody sings, the Zos HaTaroh HaShesom. Now, the Baruch She'omar, Rav Baruch Epstein, writes in his Sefer. He says, I can't understand it, why there is this minhag. The Zos HaTaroh HaShesom HaShelev and Eben Yisrael. Al pi Hashem b'yad Moshe, al pi Hashem b'yad Moshe is only half a posuk. It's not a full proper posuk. You shouldn't really say such a thing. And he suggests that the custom is abolished. But everybody does it. We have, in fact, a very established custom, and we could call it a minhag v'sikin, that after the Shema, you wait till the Chazan says, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Now, he's not finishing his Shema because he's already said Hashem Elokeichem Emes. But we add the three words because there's a minag, a nice minag. We want to make it up to 248 words, which is the number of mitzvahs Hasdei. But there's no such posuk. There is a posuk Hashem Elokim Emes. But there's no posuk Hashem Elokeichem Emes. But we find here that this minag, which is so strong and so ancient, we continue it and we do it. And just to finish off, I'm going to perhaps talk about something from the Siddur, which you're going to need in any case for benching. So if you could start passing around the Siddurim, I'll point out something relating to Shabbos Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. How long have we got? Got 9:40? Yes. Yeah. When I started researching this for the shiur, I looked into sources. I found so much that it was impossible to condense it all into half an hour. Yeah. Migdal Magdil. If you look at the Musaf on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, we say Atah Yetzarto. Thank you. As you come towards the end of the bracha, which is on page 244, after the words Yeslichas Ovon, what we say, Elokeinu Melekeinu Seinu, Ritzayim Yimuchaseinu, Kadesh Oleinu B'yam HaShabbos, and Zachariv Zel Atzel, and Rimoch HaLosos, and Zim Chonshu, and Lachom HaKonos HaKol, and Lacham Shlim Kefei, Tzichas Oleinu, and this year we're saying, Elokaporas Kosha. Now, there's something seems to be missing here, because in every single Shabbos, and every single Yom Tov, we say the words, Kadshenu B'mitzvah Secho, if you look at the top of the page, where are those words here for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? They're not there. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, you should say them. They missed out. He claims that it must be a misprint. If you look actually in certain Sidurim, the Nusach Ari Siddur does have it in. They do say it. But you don't find it in any single Siddurim of Nusach Ashkenaz at all. And in most Nusach Sfar. Why not? And the Aruch HaShulchan says, you should say it, it's a mistake. So many years ago already, I went up to Rav Cooper and I asked him, maybe we should say those words, Kachayim HaMitzvah Sechov. So he said, no, we're not going to change what our minhag is. I said, yeah, but the Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, he says, okay, we're not paskin in like the Aruch HaShulchan. If something is handed down to us, we don't know how long ago this was, it's not for us to come along and start changing things. We have to have respect for our previous generations. Okay, when Mashiach comes, we might be told to change it, but we continue the traditions that have been handed down to us because we value them with great importance. And this is a very significant idea, because we can contrast this at the other extreme, with the reform, we start throwing things out and so on and so forth because they say we don't know what the reason is or there is no reason for it. Even if we don't know the reason, we've got respect. Shema b'ni musar avicha, v'al titosh tarasim echa. This is a din d'araisa. We do not discard with a tarasim echa. Lo siskodu, we don't depart from it. Lo sasigavol, there are a number of mitzvahs min haTorah which are telling us, keep with tradition. Now the Seich Emet points out from a number of poskim that the word minhag, if you read it backwards, can read gehinnom. If a minhag is a minhag shtus, if a minhag does go against the Torah, yes, then it's gehinnom. But if a minhag is a minhag of seeking, if it carries on a tradition, and it conforms to the poskim, and that even if it goes against the halacha, that there is a source in the poskim for it, we treasure it, we regard it as a beauty. And you might ask, why is that? What is so special about minhag? A minhag is just something which has evolved, all right, maybe a long time ago, but over the generations. And I heard something very nice from a Rav by the name of Dayan Naftalin, who sadly was killed in a car accident 4 weeks ago. Dayan Naftalin said to me once, he said, the reason why we treasure minhag so much is because if we're just keeping our dinim, we do what we have to do. Okay, we're Jewish, we've got obligations, we're told to do it, so we do it. When we carry out the minhag, the custom, it is a display to Hashem of our love for Him. That we want to do certain things with embellishment. We want to show that our Yiddishkeit is something which is not a load which we carry on our shoulders. It is something which we love dearly. With chavivus, with dearness. And that is why minhag is upheld with such importance in Yiddishkeit. Because it shows Hashem that what we're doing is with Vahafto is Hashem Elokecho, v'chol levovecho, v'chol nafshecho, v'chol modecho. Thank you very much.